Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
There are some words in the English language, and in some other languages as well, that have a variety of meanings. And one such word in English is the word chain, a word that most of us are familiar with. We know that a chain is a series of links or of rings that are connected together, and that a chain is used for fastening and for securing something, or for pulling, or for supporting a load. We also know that a chain can be a piece of jewelry. But we may not be aware that a chain is also a unit of measurement, 66 feet. To be exact, and that it was used in surveying land. But sometimes we even use that word chain in a different way. We use it to describe anything, anyone, that restrains us, that binds us, that's something that holds us back, like an addiction or a problem. And then there are times when we use that word to express something else. Something entirely different. We use it to describe the connection that we have with each other. The bond we have. Like links in a chain. Our lives and the lives of those around us are connected. We affect each other. Sometimes in a positive way. Sometimes in a negative way. And in Hebrews chapter 11, that is how the writer of this letter sees the men and the women throughout history who have faith in God. They are like links in a chain. They are all connected in their belief in the one true God, in their faith in Him, in their trust in Him. And sometimes those individuals were weak links in that chain, while others were strong and solid in their faith. But remember this, by God's grace, they were still part of the chain. And the writer has already discussed some of these links, some of these men. First, there was a man by the name of Abel who worshipped God in the way that God had instructed him to worship. And we are told that God was pleased with him. Then there was Enoch, a man who faithfully and who consistently walked with the Lord for his entire life. So much so that God took him home to glory. And Enoch never died. Then there was a third link in the chain. A third link of faithful individuals. A man by the name of Noah. And Noah lived by faith in God. He believed what God had told him. And in obedience to his word, he prepared an ark. Because he was told that the judgment of God was sure to come. The next link was Abraham. And he was a strong link, wasn't he? He was a man who was solid in his faith. And though he was a pagan, he grew up in an idolatrous culture. When he heard the voice of the Lord, he abandoned his false religion. He left his relatives and his friends, left the comfort and the security of his homeland, of the city of his birth, and he based that decision entirely on the word of God. He believed what God said to him, and he traveled to a land that he knew nothing about, but a land that God had promised to give him. and to his descendants, but a land that he never possessed. He lived there for the rest of his life, like a visitor, like a stranger, without any rights, without any authority, without any land, without even a foot of ground to call his own, except for a tomb which he bought in order to bury the dead in his family. Abraham lived the rest of his life in tents, wandering around the land, living by faith in God. And though God had promised Abraham a son, one who would be the beginning of a great people, a nation, it was not until Abraham was almost 100 years old that God fulfilled that promise. And Isaac was born. Well, even after that, once again, the Lord tested the faith of Abraham. He tested him to see if he would be willing to be obedient to God. The Lord instructed Abraham to sacrifice his son on an altar in obedience to his word. And in faith, in obedience, we are told that Abraham was willing to do all that the Lord had told him to do. But then God stayed his hand just as he was about to follow that command. How could he face those trials? How could he face those difficulties in his life and emerge so victoriously? The writer of Hebrews tells us that by faith, Abraham looked to the Lord. He eagerly awaited the day when he would be at home in heaven forever. He looked to God. He looked to eternal things, and his perspective and his actions gave evidence of that belief, of that hope. We are told that Abraham was looking for a heavenly city. He wasn't looking for an earthly city. He was looking for a city, we are told, that had already been designed and built by God. He was looking towards heaven. So Abraham could endure the struggles here. He could endure the trials that he faced in his life because he knew that his home was truly in heaven. And so he had hope. He had assurance. His life was rooted and grounded in the life to come. So he looked with outstretched arms to the God of eternity. He was a man of faith. But not all links in this chain appear to be as strong or as solid as Abraham, do they? Genesis chapter 25 through Genesis chapter 27, we read about a man like that. We read about Isaac, the son of Abraham. Now, when Isaac was 40 years old, we're told that he took a woman to be his wife, a woman by the name of Rebekah. And we're told that she was very beautiful, and that Isaac loved her. But Rebekah was barren. She was unable to have any children. So how could the promises of God be fulfilled for there to be descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven and like the sand on the seashore? How could it be fulfilled if there was no son to fulfill it? So we are told that for 20 years, Isaac prayed and he waited on the Lord. And then when he was 60 years old, Rebecca conceived. And not only was there one child in her womb, there were two children. But Rebecca had a rough pregnancy. She had a difficult time. It was as if these two children in her belly were fighting each other even before they were born. So Rebecca asked the Lord, why? Why is this so? And what did the Lord tell her? He said that these two children who are within you will become two nations. And one will be stronger than the other. And the older son will serve the younger one. And as she was giving birth, the first to be delivered was named Esau. And the second was named Jacob. And as they came forth, Jacob was holding on to Esau's heel. So by the word of the Lord to Rebekah, the Lord let them know. He let Isaac and Rebekah know that someday Esau would serve Jacob. Jacob was the child of promise. He was the one through whom God would multiply the descendants of Abraham and of Isaac, the one who would be the next link in the chain. And God appeared to Isaac just as he had appeared to Abraham. And he spoke to him. And he told him that there was a famine in the land. And that because there was a famine, they should not go down to Egypt. He reminded him of the promise that he had given to Abraham. The promise that he would bless him in the land. So Abraham and Isaac were to live as strangers in the land. Said, I promised your father, as I promise you, that I will be with you, and I will bless you, and I will bless not only your family, I will bless your descendants, and I will give all these lands to you. But Isaac had already gone down to the land of the Philistines, not too far from Egypt. They were a wicked, a godless people. And even after the Lord told him to return to the promised land, what did Isaac do? It says he remained among the Philistines. And he told them that his wife was his sister because he was afraid that they would kill him and take her for themselves. And it was only after the Philistines kept stopping up the wells that he dug, filling them in with dirt so that he couldn't water his flocks and his herds. It was only after that that Isaac finally returned to the land of promise. We're sometimes like that. We're sometimes slow to obey. And sometimes the Lord has to use circumstances and people to help us along the way. But the writer of Hebrews doesn't focus on any of these things, does he? Instead, he reminds his readers of an incident that took place when Isaac was very old. A time when his eyes were too dim to see. His son Esau had become a skillful hunter. And Isaac apparently liked a good steak. So he told Esau to go out into the field and to hunt down an animal and to bring it in and to prepare it so that he might enjoy that meal. And he said, after I've eaten, then I will bless you. I will bless you before I die. But hadn't the Lord already said that Jacob was to receive the blessing? Even though he wasn't the firstborn? Was Isaac really going to ignore the word of the Lord for a piece of meat for a good dinner? We might ask ourselves that same question. If at times we have done the very same thing. If we have ignored the word of the Lord to gain something for ourselves. And Rebecca overheard the conversation between her husband Isaac and her son Esau. And instead of letting God do what he said that he would do, she took matters into her own hands, didn't she? She had Jacob deceive his father so that Isaac believed that Esau had returned with the meal. And so Isaac blessed Jacob instead of Esau. And when Esau finally did come back, and he brought in the meat to his father, and Isaac realized that he had already blessed Jacob. It says this in verse 33 of Genesis chapter 22, that he shook violently. His self-will, his selfishness, his appetite, his disobedience had been overruled by God. God's will was done. Jacob was blessed. And though Esau cried out with a cry of anguish and bitterness, the only blessing that Isaac could give to him was that one day Esau would tear himself away from the yoke of his younger brother's dominion over him. Doesn't sound like a very strong link in the chain, does it? But despite his failure to do what was right, the plan of God, the promises of God cannot fail and they cannot be changed. And the writer tells us that this was his measure of faith. Listen. Though there is certainly much that we could say about Isaac, about what he did, about how he did it, about his motives. Despite all of that, the writer says, we can't take this away from him. He says this in verse 20 of Hebrews chapter 11. We are told that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. He believed. He believed that the promises of God were true. He believed that they were real. He believed this even regarding the things to come, Melo, the things that will surely, certainly come to pass. He had confidence that the future of his people, the future of the nation, the future of the world, in fact, rested in the hands of God. The fulfillment of those things, which he would not see, but which he saw with an eye of faith. He is a link in the chain, despite his failures. But what about Jacob? Perhaps he was another weak link in this chain. Well, he certainly was deceitful, wasn't he? He was devious. He was self-serving. And he was like some of us. Sometimes he walked by faith. Sometimes he walked in fear. Sometimes he was up. Sometimes he was down. Sometimes he lived in triumph. Sometimes he lived in defeat. And though, throughout his life, he didn't always walk by faith, as he approached the time of his death, he was confident in the plan of God for him, for his family, for the nation, the future blessing of his people. And his legacy, his testimony, concerning his faith. A testimony that he left behind for us was not seen until he was about to die. It was not seen until he was about to take his last breath and leave this earth. So, perhaps there's hope for us that even with our failures along the way, that by God's grace, as we face death, we will leave behind a testimony for Christ. That we will finish well for him. There's something to be said for finishing well, the Lord tells us. So at the end of his life, Jacob, whose name means the deceiver, the schemer, had his name changed. But he didn't change his name. It was God who changed his name, and God called him Israel, which means the one who is strong with the Lord, the one who triumphs with God. The end of his life, Jacob and his family, 70 people in all, were brought down to Egypt. They were rescued from a famine there. And they were rescued by his son, Joseph, who had become the prime minister in the land of Egypt. So by faith, we're told in verse 21 of Hebrews chapter 11, Jacob, as he was dying, sat up on the edge of his bed. And when we are told that Joseph came to visit him, Genesis chapter 48, he sat there and he spoke with his son and he told him that at Bethel, the house of God, God had revealed himself to him and he blessed him. And God had told him, just like he told his father, Isaac, and his grandfather, Abraham, that he would be fruitful and that he would become a multitude of people through his descendants, and they would possess the land that God had promised to them. And when Jacob was told that there were two boys with Joseph on that day, he was told that they were Joseph's sons. And what did he do? We are told he blessed each of the sons of Joseph. But the blessing of the firstborn he gave to the youngest, to Ephraim. But he blessed both of them. He blessed Joseph through his sons. Jacob believed that one day the descendants of his children would leave the land of Egypt and that God would bring them back to their land, a land that they did not even possess at this point. So as he was dying, he clearly saw the future of his people. And so, as Jacob sat on the edge of his bed, we are told he worshipped. He believed God. He gave praise to him while leaning on the top of his staff, too weak to even stand. He went from being a deceiver to a worshiper. Only God can do that. His faith was firmly grounded in the promises of God. His testimony at his death was perhaps the finest hour of his life. And it would be only some 55 years later that his son Joseph would be lying there as he was about to die. And someday we will all be lying there. And what is it that the Lord will value as we approach death? What will he remember concerning our life? What will be our testimony, our legacy that we will leave behind? We sometimes see only the glitter. We sometimes see only the superficial things. While God sees the gold. He sees what has eternal value. And for Joseph, there were a number of things worth seeing, weren't there? There were things of value in his life. His faith in God, even after he spent several years in an Egyptian prison for a crime that he did not commit. His forgiveness and his graciousness towards his brothers, who had sold him into slavery when he was only 17 years old, ripping him away from his family and from his father. But the Lord doesn't see things the way that we see them. And to him, the dying words of Joseph speak louder than his life. By faith, we are told in verse 22, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel. That speaks of his faith, the Lord says. So it would be another 145 years or so before God would tell his people to depart from Egypt. By faith, Joseph saw them leave. And in Genesis chapter 50, he gave orders to the people, to the children of Israel, that when he died, they should not bury him, as was the custom for his people, but instead they should embalm him and place his body in a coffin. And the command that he gave to them concerning his bones was that when they left Egypt, they should carry his bones with them through the wilderness so that he might be buried in the land of promise. His bones were a testimony to his faith in God, an encouragement to others to believe. For the mouth of the Lord had spoken these things. And Joseph believed the Lord. And though he had spent most of his adult life in Egypt, he still did not consider Egypt his home. But by faith, he believed that God would bring him, would bring his people home. As Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 25, surely God will take care of you. By faith, all three of these men, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, by the end of their lives, all of them believed in the promises of God with all their heart. And they considered themselves to be links in the chain of the faithful. And the Lord gave them vision. He gave them understanding to see themselves as part of the plan that God was unfolding in time. Just as we, who know Jesus Christ, are part of that plan. We need to see ourselves as links in that chain. By our life, even by our death, we testify of our faith in the salvation that we have through Christ Jesus, our Lord. May he give us eyes to see beyond our own situation, beyond even our own generations, and to see the plan of God, to see eternity. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.